Welcome to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ, joined on this episode, two guys who have been petitioning EA to have them come in and mocap the tush push. It's JB Huskers and Tommy. Guys, how's it going?
I get to be, I don't know where I want to be in that position, so.
Definitely not Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
Well, let me know how that goes for you guys.
First off, I'll be the outside receiver, so.
Roger Goodell banning it.
Checking out the show. Thank you for checking us out. If you enjoy the show, make sure you tell a friend or two about it. Leave a like, subscribe, comment. We appreciate it more than you know. If you don't like the show, let us know or send us feedback on the show to podcast@thegamingtailgate.com. Guys, we are reaching the point. Realistically, we could get game news at any point, especially with the playoffs now just being a couple weeks away. Do you guys, what do you expect the first thing to be? We'll get into this more probably on a future show. But if you had to say, what do you think we're going to see first in a quick time frame, if you had to throw out a quick guess?
A sizzle trailer during the national championship.
A highlight reel featuring the Heisman Trophy winner.
This is one that I want to think that they'd show a player, but I get if it's a covered guy, I suppose they would have under contract. I can't think we're going to get a lot of action on the field until the portal settles down, we get roster set. So I think it's going to be probably a montage of a stadium and maybe a licensed player or two, maybe a mascot. But I agree with you guys. I think around that championship time, maybe the week in between the games, somewhere in there we'll probably get some action. In the meantime,
I think the first video we see is going to be totally unrecognizable players, just generic focus on the teams and have players in the video, but not a specific player or anything like that.
If they do Ultimate Team, I mean, they had Dion before. On NCAA, maybe they've got Dion in the game as a coach, maybe, and maybe they're showing, because if they have Dion agree to on Ultimate Team, maybe they show him on the sideline or something like that.
Yeah, I could see something more like that.
We have the playoff field, and I'm sure everyone has heard enough hot takes and discussion. No way. So we're going to go on a different angle quickly here to start off the show. How could the game get some drama like we had in real life? In the previous years of the playoff, the BCS format always matched with the playoff field. This was the first time that it seemed like the committee finally exercised their option, which seemed like the whole point of going from the computers to the committee was they wanted to have that, be able to throw that switch, that if somebody got in there they really didn't want for whatever reason, they could say, we're not putting you in. They finally did it in the last year of the 14 playoff. How can we get this kind of drama in the game? Or can we even get this kind of drama in the game?
It would be hard-pressed to, because it's always going to be a computer making the decision. Obviously, it's going to try to mimic what it thinks people would do and the eye test and all that. But at the end of the day, it's still a computer making a decision. Imagine if you were in Florida State's shoes in a dynasty and you got left out and all the rest of the other people in your online dynasty were all in. You know, imagine, I mean, A, it's going to be heartbreaking, but B, you're going to throw your controller and vow off the game for the rest of your life, you know.
But you would always talk about it.
True.
I don't see how they could do it, and I don't think we want it to, but it's just, we always want the game to mimic real life, and this is one aspect where maybe we don't. Maybe the community doesn't want this.
The drama is probably going to be within the online dynasties, because especially now, I mean, when the game comes out, it's going to be a 12-team playoff anyway, so I don't think we're going to get any controversial things with the playoffs happening. Maybe there might be some funny things that happen in some individual offline dynasties, but, you know, in terms of what we're seeing now, we're not going to see anything like that, because just the fact that the new system is going to be what's going to be in the game.
So you're always going to have your North Texas in the national, you know, ranked number one in the playoffs or whatever. So that, I mean, that's, unless they really weigh conferences based upon, so they have some sort of media rating or something like that, you're always going to end up with some school that is in there that shouldn't be, that's in there over Alabama or over LSU or whoever else. So,
well, as you know, Florida State will never get screwed by the committee in an EA sports game.
Oh, no, not in the specific game. Yeah, we know
Florida State. Florida State and UCF will always, they'll never be left out in the game.
Yeah.
As we record this, the transfer portal is going hot and heavy. Maybe you should call it the tamper portal. I don't know. But it's going hot and heavy, and it's a lot of fun to watch. We have episode 35 of the podcast. JB and I went through our thoughts on it and how it might look in EA Sports College Football. So we won't spend a lot of time on it. I do recommend people go back and find that episode of the podcast. I think it was pretty well done. I think we covered everything. And even though we recorded it over a year ago, it still holds up. I don't think we missed anything big that the community wanted to see for this mode in the game. But Tommy, you weren't here that night. You were on assignment, I believe, in Thailand. what are some things briefly that, with the portal that you'd like to see incorporated into the game? And what are you seeing in real life that you want to see in there?
I mean, I think the biggest thing, the two biggest things are in real life, the factors are playing time and NIL money. So, you know, somehow translate those. So if you're the second string quarterback going into the season, then you're automatically in the transfer portal, for example. You know, if you know you're not going to get a chance to play because, you know, you're the junior and you've got a freshman starting behind you or something like that, you're going to transfer out. So, you know, we saw that in years past, but it now obviously it's going to be instant availability and you know, instant impact. So that'll be interesting to see. But then as well, see how they can, you know, do the NIL money transfer. Are they just going to do it that, you know, a star athlete from a lower school is going to transfer up to a bigger school, or how that's going to happen? So that's the two biggest reasons to transfer today. So how is EA going to translate that? That's always going to be interesting. And you know, are you going to have the opportunity to talk them into staying, and how much is that going to be able to weigh on it? So if you're a lower school and you're losing your star middle linebacker, are you going to have a chance to convince them to stay?
Got to wonder if they're going to implement NIL somewhere into the game itself, either within Road to Glory or in recruiting on Dynasty. You got to wonder if they're going to implement something with that system.
I think it'd be hard to, because we don't have a full picture of what the behind the scenes looks like. So at the same time, you know, I don't think they want to start showing dollar figures in the game of that, you know, this quarterback is getting $1 million or whatever it is. You know, maybe they
Road to Glory might be able to do sponsors at least.
Yeah, I could see something more like that. But in terms of this player transferred because he got $1 million from, you know, the boosters at
Ohio
Alabama
State.
Yeah, Ohio State, wherever. Then, yeah, I don't see that actually being on the screen.
That's a tough one, because I don't think we don't have the full picture. Like I said, nobody's being real honest about this. I think you have some programs that the coaches say, guys, we got to step it up. We need more money. You know, we've heard Ohio State say that. We've heard Alabama say that. We've heard Kentucky say that. With Kentucky, I believe that they want to ramp it up to match the Georgias of the world. I have a tough time believing that the Alabamas and Ohio States are struggling with money on the NIL scene. I think it's more they have a great system. They want to get even better because they don't want somebody catching up to them. So I don't think a lot of people are being real honest about it, besides not really knowing. Like you said, we don't know the numbers behind the scenes. We don't know what players get. I think sometimes it gets overinflated, and there's probably times where it's underinflated. There's probably guys getting amounts that we probably could not believe. And there's probably some guys that were probably thinking, I thought he got more than that. So I don't know how the game is going to mimic that, but I'm interested to see it. But again, I don't know how they do that.
And you got to wonder if they're going to match the volume that in the game that is happening in real life. And it's just a ridiculous amount of players. It just keeps getting, I think it just keeps getting worse and worse each year. With you got McCord from Ohio State. I mean, one of the top teams in the nation, your quarterback, instead of coming back, he's hitting the portal.
And I think he got squeezed out. So
hot young studs coming in to replace him, even though he's got one more year of eligibility, even though he quarterbacked one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah. See, then how's the game do that? Like, I agree with Tommy. We talked about that on episode 35, is that if you're a good player and you don't get the playing time, you're likely to look, which I think the AI makes sense. How does the game do it to where you're a top five team? Every position is loaded. Your quarterback is, you know, the first time not NFL caliber, at least to the extent of the previous two or three they've had, and he basically gets forced out. How do you do that in a game? And maybe that's another thing. Maybe they can't quite do it. But in the case of McCord, I think that's what happened here. We don't know.
Well, at the same time,
it feels like he either knows they're going to get somebody through NIL, or they've said it's Devin Brown's time. We're going to somebody else on the roster for quarterback next year.
Yeah, you got to wonder though. I mean, at the same time, if it's a user, the user's probably smoking everybody with McCord. If it's the computer, I mean. You know, how accurately is it going to sim? Ohio State's very strong. You know, is it only going to, you know, how accurately is it going to just pinpoint that basically his only weapon was Marvin Harrison? So it's, you know, it's kind of probably hard to replicate in the game world when they probably are already overpowered as it is.
So the thing that I'll be curious to see how they do is, you know, in the years past, we had a 70 player roster limit. Obviously, with this generation of consoles, you would think they would at least have 85. So, you know, are we going to see that? And then as well, how are they going to do unlimited recruiting that you have in this day and age. You can sign a class of 35 players if you want to, or whatever mm-hmm. it is, as long as you don't go over that 85. So, you know, I guess depending upon timing, if you have 10 players transfer out, then yeah, you can sign another 10 players out of high school or whatever. So,
and some schools, yeah, the thing, they only have the 85, but there's some guys who are getting NIL money to basically be the, you know, equal to a scholarship. So yeah, technically only 85 on scholarship, but there's 100 plus guys getting paid the equivalent of a scholarship. So it's a lot to worry about and for them to program in. Let's get on to the real big game news we have, and it's off the field. It's something we've been talking about virtually every episode now for the last, 6 months. The Brander One Team Partners have reached a settlement in their lawsuit, and a part of that agreement, the lawsuit against EA Sports has been dropped. EA has since reiterated that the game is still coming in summer of 2024. It seems like that was never in doubt. Quasi-friend of the show, John Riesberg, just because we love reading his tweets, he works at EA, he had said, "We never said this game wasn't coming in summer 2024. We always said this game was coming there, but a lot of the media, I think, like to run with lawsuit threatens, and that was never apparently the case. But now the lawsuit is done, that related to how they were going to acquire the player rights with name, image, likeness. Apparently not going to be an issue now. Brander and One Team Partners have reached a settlement. Guys, finally the lawsuit is over. I think we're done talking about it, at least until another lawsuit pops up, which hopefully does not happen. But this one finally can be put to bed.
There's nothing to it, first off. So, I mean, it was, we don't, and obviously people, you know, are probably getting, you know, PTSD from the whole Ed O'Bannon situation. But, yeah. And then, of course, people liking, you know, in this day and age, you got to write some headline just to get yourself clickbait. So obviously that's what people would run with when that came out. And we knew that it was going to get dropped. And so, and here we are. We're still 7 months away from the second Tuesday in July. And now we have a clear path.
I will say the timing is very interesting because, mm-hmm. and this is just off the top of my head, I haven't thought it all the way out, but in theory, maybe they are going to have licensed players in that sizzle video in the national championship game. And so they want to have this out of the way ahead of that so that they can have at least a handful of players signed up and they don't have mm-hmm. to worry about Brander coming out and threatening the video on the day that it's released or something like that. Now they can have clear picture. These are our athletes. They're signed to us. Brander has no claim to them. And, you know, here's the trailer.
I think that's a good theory. Especially I hadn't thought about that, but I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, especially with some of the high-profile quarterbacks. Hell, they could show one of those high-profile quarterbacks at a new home because there's a lot of mm-hmm. high-profile quarterbacks, not just McCord, but a lot of other ones. DJ from Oregon State, Howard from K-State. There's a lot of high-profile quarterbacks.
Gabriel, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So if one of those signs a home, I mean, they can show a quick little thing. Oh, look, there's Will Howard in a Nebraska uniform.
Like they do with Madden players in free agency mm-hmm. and draft. That would be that would be cool. That would be hugely shared on social media. Once EA puts out an official screenshot, if they did one of those reveals, first time.
Oh, especially with that name on the back of the jersey.
Yeah, that would be
that might be the pan shot, is that you pan up a player's uniform from his behind him, and then all of a sudden you see his nameplate on the back of his jersey, and you know, it zooms out, and then now he's on the field playing the game or whatever.
I agree. That could be a good reason for that lawsuit being dropped, and now that can be taken advantage of for the sizzle or any kind of release video they put out coming up here in the next few weeks. Speaking of what can be in the game, on Instagram, friend of the podcast and passionate community member Josiah Forsyth posted on Instagram, "Chris Fowler needs to be in the new EA Sports college football video game franchise next year." Chris Fowler responded with, "Don't worry." So first off, it seems like if you find somebody from ESPN in your neck of the woods, ask them if they're in the game. Because we had Matt Brown going to game day last year at Montana State, and several of those personalities said they're going to be busy on that following Monday as it related to EA Sports and the video game. So now it seems like it's all but confirmation that perhaps Chris Fowler is going to be involved with the title. Tommy, know you made that prediction a while back that you thought that Fowler and Herbstreit may be the main announce crew. And now this is not quite confirmation, but I think the Vegas odds on your claim have lowered. You're not going to get the big money betting now, Tommy.
No, I placed it in early. So I'm going to cash in. So
don't worry. I think that's... Don't worry is basically yes in a different term, in two words.
Maybe that's his way of saying, I won't be in, but please don't be upset for me. I don't think that's what it meant.
Don't worry about me. I'm still well
taken
care of.
Don't cry for me.
I don't think that's what he meant, but I thought that was pretty interesting that he did respond. And Josiah, he posts on our site. He posts a lot on Twitter about the game. Very passionate guy. I'm sure that probably made his day when he got that response and it said, you know, Chris Fowler responded to you on Instagram. I'm sure he probably fell out of his seat. I would, if I put something out there, I'd probably think, okay, what burner account just fooled me here and responded with a spam link. So that was pretty nice.
I will be interested to see how they do that long-term. I mean, first year, bring in Fowler, you know, maybe have him in there for 2 or 3 years, but long-term, I don't think he would want to keep coming back. So, you know, eventually they do bring in somebody a little bit younger to replace him, but still keep Herb Street. So that way, you know, kind of have a phased approach to replace him.
I thought maybe Joe Tessitore would be in the game, and we don't know that he's not. Because I know Matt Brown has said some of the main personalities are basically in the game, and some, this is not my term. I think he called them lesser personalities, which first off, they might have great personalities, Matt, but I know what he means. He's talking about not the A team of broadcasters like on the game day or the Herb Streets or Fowlers. So it sounds like ESPN is strongly representing this game more than we had in the past in terms of the announced crew.
They'll have Stanford Steve making bad picks before the game.
That always cracks me up on game day when they show his picks and then the record for the year's. It's worse than my picks, and I can't pick games very well. And he's supposed to be the pro.
Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, like, you know, Tessitore. I mean, hell, we had PS3 games that had multiple announced teams. NCAA basketball had multiple announced teams. So I don't know why you can't do it in 2023-24, you know.
My thought would be the time, the year one. They don't want that.
Yeah, year one, yeah.
Yeah,
I think not, but maybe down the line, I could definitely see it happening.
I think that's how you bring in another announcing crew to replace, you know, Herb Street or Fowler, whoever is that you do have a secondary crew that eventually just kind of takes over full time or something like that.
Matt Brown wrote in one of his recent newsletters at Matt Brown's Extra Points that the game will have customization, but he had no info beyond that point. He didn't want to go out and say team builder, yes, no, because he doesn't know. He just knows what he's hearing behind the scenes, what he's heard from EA on his end of things. That there will be customization. Now that's kind of a vague term because he's getting the question a lot since Matt's doing the Freedom of Information Act request. They want to know there's team builder in. He can't say. But in the past, some of the customization included team builder, editable rosters, custom playbooks, formation subs. What could it mean in year one? I know in the past we talked about maybe team builder. That's maybe a bit much to bite off in year one. Could it be selectable jerseys? Do they consider that customization? An editable top 25? Maybe selectable logos or field art. What kind of customization do you guys think we could see in year one? I would love to see Team Builder. And I know we have a lot of guys in the community ask us, will Team Builder be in year one? I wouldn't bet on it, but I have no info on this. But I just, my guess says, don't hold your breath.
Depends on how much they got to overhaul it from, how much do they have to overhaul from what they've already had. Obviously, that's 14 years ago. You know, how many years ago?
It depends how they want to do it. They may not want to do the web integration. It might be all on console, or maybe it's going to be on your phone instead of on the computer.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that have probably changed since then to where it probably that's where you may want to write it off for year one. I would assume conferences is probably one so you can adjust as what's going on, especially Pac-12. We don't know what's going to go on. The two teams, is the Mountain West just going to become the Pac-12? Are they just going to basically take over the conference and become the Pac-12? You know, we don't know. Those are some question marks that are going to be coming up. And obviously you got changes, you know, I don't know if they're going to have, probably not going to have FCS schools in there, but you never know if you could have the ability to bring in new schools, put them in the Sun Belt, basically is what they do. And then realign the other schools. Cause are there any major changes that are set in stone after 24? What are the major, some of the major changes?
I don't know if it's next year or 25, but Kennesaw State is coming up into CUSA. Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's no major schools like Texas and going to the SEC in 25 or later that we know of.
It's all 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there is one team, but it's a smaller team that we'll talk about in a minute. But Tommy, what kind of things do you think are reasonable expectations for customization in year one?
In terms of customization and things like that, I think we'll probably see alligators and face tattoos and motorcycles and twerking on top of a car. Or, no, sorry. That's the wrong game. Yeah, custom conferences, that's a guarantee, I would almost say. Custom teams, I would say year one, no. I would almost say permanently no, only because EA is still afraid of getting sued by somebody using a logo that they're not allowed to use, using an NFL team or using a Major League Baseball team.
Or an unlicensed player.
Or whatever it may be in their game.
Or naughty symbols. And then,
yeah, that too, of course. But then the one thing I could see them doing is giving you the ability to create FCS or Division II schools. They'll have the license for the logos and the name and things like that, but they won't actually be in the game unless you create them. And then either custom conferences you can add to the existing number or replace somebody else or something like that.
Speaking of that, JB, Delaware is coming to Conference USA in 2025. That was kind of a surprise announcement in the last week or so that I think nobody really knew about. It's not looking good for inclusion in Esports College Football year one in terms of the timeline. The Blue Hens will be in Conference USA in year two of Dynasty Mode. Matt Brown tweeted, and I'll be honest, before the show, I tried to find it and I could not find it. So either I didn't search right or maybe he deleted the tweet, but I was under the impression from what I had read that he reached out to Delaware and they would be looking into this, but it sounded like did not seem likely that at launch they would be in the game, which makes sense, I guess, that technically in 24, they're not in Conference USA. But I know a lot of people will want to play with people always love new teams because you start a dynasty, you want to build a team up, and Delaware would be a great team to do that in year two of dynasty. So that goes to your point, custom conferences, that'd be great if we could add Delaware in year two, but at least behind the scenes in the rumor mill from what Matt Brown put on Twitter, doesn't seem like that's likely in year one.
Yeah, a lot of people love to, if you do one of those online dynasties that you do one star or, you know, one star only, then a lot of people love to fight over those new schools. So
See, it's always the new schools and the teams that got a new coach. Those always seem like those are the hot ones that, you know, when the game comes out that people want to start year one of a dynasty with. And we're just days away from the Heisman ceremony. Before we wrap up the show, we got to ask you guys' picks. It's kind of a shock. I think Jaden Daniels is going to win it. And I think there's also a good chance he might be the cover athlete, which is something that once the season gets wrapped up after Army, Navy, and if we have an episode to kill, maybe we'll ask community feedback on cover athlete. But I think he might be one of the leaders in the clubhouse, and I think he's going to win the Heisman this weekend. Who do you guys have? So the field is Nix, Daniels, Harrison, and Penix.
I would love for the wrinkle for Harrison to actually get it. I don't think he will, but I mean, he truly was the best player on his team. Mm-hmm. He was electric. I mean, he stood out from every other receiver in the country. So to me, that's kind of the shining moment of a Heisman. If you're not going to have the national champion, Penix is the only one that's even close to that, then, you know, go with the guy that was the best at his position among everyone.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised Vegas is so hard on Daniels right now, with the fact that Penix is quarterbacking a two seed in the playoff. Marvin Harrison, I'd love to see him be a Chicago Bear next year too, by the way. But holy cow, his Vegas odds are like way astronomical because they just assume they're going to give it to a quarterback. And, you know, they had this argument on McAfee today. They're like, well, typically the quarterback's the MVP because they touch the ball every play off the offensive side. So I don't normally agree that we always have to give it to a quarterback. I agree with Tommy. I'd love to see Harrison win it. I was kind of surprised that Daniels is such a runaway favorite right now.
Because he's the top player in the SEC, and the SEC sticks together. So there's nobody to dilute the vote from him.
My vote would be Penix.
Out West, Penix and Nix are going to split the Pac-12 West Coast votes. So that just leaves the Midwest against the South. And Harrison's great, but then I'm not sure that Odunze is not the better receiver out of Washington. He might be the better player on the team, and that's saying something as good as Penix is.
It's weird.
It's like an election. You have to kind of break it down by region, and the two guys cancel each other out. And I think the one's at a position where he doesn't get enough touches, even though Harrison's phenomenal.
Yeah, even though they cancel each other out, I mean, there's a head-to-head aspect there where Penix led the team to victory. So you figure there shouldn't be splitting votes. But, I mean, Vegas knows something because it's a pretty much seems like a done deal with – because, I mean, Nix is – I think Nix second at like a plus 150. And
I had not heard the final odds on it. I just know Daniels is the big favorite, and that's the guy that about 2 weeks ago, I realized, yeah, he's going to win it. There's
Harrison's like a plus 15,000, I think is what he was I saw earlier today. So yeah, Harrison is a very long shot, but Daniels is a very wide favorite compared to the other two after that. So I think it's, if Vegas knows something, it's pretty cut and dry that there's not going to be a shock. But if they don't split the votes, I would say Penix.
Does Jordan Travis get in the top 10? He's clearly very important because once he's out, his team goes from undefeated top four to, you know,
undefeated still.
Yeah, undefeated, but yeah, you know, not worthy of anything.
Yeah,
I think he's a great player. I don't know if I would put him top 10, but now I'm beginning to think maybe he'll get a vote. He missed some games, but then if you wait, voted to the end of the year to vote, then you realize, well, this guy was clearly very, very important because his injury cost them a playoff spot.
Yeah, well, how many places do they go when they tally up the points? The top five?
I think you will get I think every vote made, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what you will see it, and by breakdown by region as well.
I think the reason why Travis stood out is just because of the replacements were not prepared at all. So that's the reason why he stood out. But to me, he was great, but he wasn't like Heisman great in my opinion.
I thought he was very good.
Even when he was, you know, full health. So
it's Keon Coleman, I thought, was the best player on that offense. But he's a wide receiver and he doesn't get the touches that and didn't get the name recognition or coverage that a Harrison or a Dunze does. But I think Coleman's great. Well, we're gonna wrap that up next show. Now, barring any game news emerging, if game news comes out, all bets are off on what we're going to talk about. The plan for our next show, community feedback. Each week we ask the community members what they want to see, what they saw in real life, from that incorporated into the game, what they want to see. We'll cover the second half of the season. We have a lot of great stuff the community put out there. We'll go through and also share things that we saw we think the community will want to see in year one of EA Sports College Football. For Tommy and Jeremy, I'm CDJ. Everyone, thank you for checking out this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.
Micro Machines Man there at the end.
The Micro Machine Man here presenting the genuine original, colossally collectible, most midget miniature episodes of the real things, Micro Machines.
Some hot young studs coming in to replace him.